Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here, and thank you for the introduction. So my name is Melanie Fritz, and I work with a project called Project Connect at the Ruth M. Rothstein Core Center, which is part of the Cook County Health and Hospital Systems. I'm the project assistant for that project, which is linkage to care for HIV-positive patients who are admitted to Stroger Hospital. And I was also the project coordinator for the research that I'm going to present today, which is the use of a real-time alert system to identify and re-engage lost-to-care HIV patients. So the alert system that I'm going to be talking about was developed and implemented by the folks listed here, Dr. Ronald Lubelchek, Caitlin Finnegan, and William Trick. And it was developed through a collaboration between the Core Center and the John Stroger Hospital Division of Infectious Disease, Internal Medicine, and Collaborative Research Unit with funding from a supplemental grant for the Center of AIDS Research. So over the next 15 minutes, I'm going to be explaining the rationale behind developing new methods for re-engaging lost-to-care patients. I'll talk a little bit about the specifics of our outreach intervention, and I'll show how utilizing this alert system offers a way to increase engagement and care for HIV-positive populations. Nothing to disclose here. So my introduction mirrors a lot of what has been already said, and Pooja did a great job of going over more updated information. But just briefly, the HIV incidence rate has been holding pretty much steady for about 5 years or so. And recent data reflects, I think, approximately 47,000 new infections each year in the U.S. and about 1,000 new infections annually in Chicago, per Chicago Department of Public Health 2013 reports. And although it is staying pretty much steady overall, as we've seen, there are some shifts in which communities are taking on a larger portion of the burden of infections. And some different studies indicate a 12% increase in infections among men who have sex with men, 22% increase among young MSM, and a 43% increase among young black MSM. And all the studies that those numbers come from, I have a reference sheet at the end if anyone's interested. So I'm sure many of you are familiar with the care continuum developed by the CDC, which shows the steps from diagnosis to hopefully viral suppression. And the big issue here that we're focusing on is that at any point along this care continuum, patients can depart from it. So they may not be linked to care, they may be linked to follow-up care, but not retained in care, which can result in them not receiving antiretroviral therapy or only be sporadically adherent. And any of those departures from the care continuum will result in the patient not reaching viral suppression. Our intervention is specifically focused on retention in care because that's obviously a very necessary step for patients to reach viral suppression. And that endpoint, viral suppression, is important for us because it doesn't only impact improved individual patient health, but has the opportunity to reduce transmission in the rest of the community as well. So our EMR-based alert intervention draws on two types of patient engagement techniques. The first one being patient navigation-based techniques, which has two components. The primary purpose is to help patients navigate the healthcare system, which, as we all know, can be pretty complex. And the additional benefit of patient navigation-based techniques is that it offers additional personal contact. And there are a couple studies that have been done recently that show that this additional personal contact is a factor that improves patients' attendance to clinic visits. And that's contact beyond standard reminder clinic calls. Health information technology is an opportunity to identify lost-to-care patients when they are at clinics that have a shared electronic medical record with their HIV clinic. So there's not a lot of precedent for this, actually. It's sort of a new development, and I've seen that there's some other really interesting sessions addressing this topic later in the conference. But there was a recent trial in Louisiana with the Louisiana State University Health System, which triggered any providers that a patient who is lost to HIV follow-up might visit, and it triggers those providers who aren't HIV providers to reschedule an appointment for the patient with their HIV care provider. And so our intervention uses this health information technology to identify patients when they check into a clinic that's not their HIV clinic, and we use patient navigators instead of the providers that the Louisiana trial used. To help patients reschedule appointments and reconnect to care. And we will see that a little bit in more detail with the methodology that we're going to go over. So the location for the implementation of this health information technology system is important. It's the Cook County Health and Hospital Systems, which provides care to residents of Chicago and is a key component of the region's healthcare safety net. It sees over 500,000 patient visits annually, and the kind of clinical hub of the Cook County Health and Hospital Systems is the John Stroger Hospital and the surrounding outpatient and specialty care clinics. It also has one of the region's busiest emergency departments and includes the Ruth M. Rothstein Core Center, which is where our HIV-positive patients are linked to care. The patients we included in this outreach intervention were patients who were lost to care for over 7 months, who have been following up at the Core Center. So our definition was, if a patient had been to a primary care HIV appointment at the Core Center within the past 2 years, but hadn't seen a provider in the past 7 months, they were folks that we felt were eligible for an outreach intervention. And the reason that this health information technology works is that patients may not be following up at the Core Center, but they may be following up either with other medical providers in the Cook County Health and Hospital Systems, or they may present to the Stroger Emergency Department for medical attention. And this will make a little more sense when I go over the alert design. Okay, so when patients who have been identified as lost to care check in at any CCHHS clinical site, whether that's a clinic or the emergency department, their registration information is transmitted automatically to our collaborative research unit server, where their name and registration information is cross-referenced with a list of the patients we have identified as lost to care. So if they are on that list, then a real-time alert is sent via page to our project staff, and we log on to a password-protected website that has more specific patient and MRN information. So upon receiving the patient's medical record number via this alert, we conduct a chart review. And there's a couple questions that we asked when we began reviewing these charts. And the first question is, does this patient have a follow-up appointment scheduled already at the Core Center? If they did, we didn't do any further outreach because our intervention is specifically to get patients scheduled with a new appointment. And then we would do a little deeper looking into the patient's medical record to determine, are they truly lost to care? Do they really need this outreach intervention? And I'll go over in the results section a couple of the reasons why we might have determined that they aren't in need of the intervention or aren't lost to care. So I'll go over that in a little bit. But once we identify that they are in need of this outreach, we would first go try to see them in person in the clinic or the emergency department that they have checked into. Sometimes we're unable to do that, where our project staff is only on site during business hours, so if patients checked into the emergency department overnight, we wouldn't be able to see them in person. And sometimes the time between the patient checking in to us receiving the alert could be up to 15 minutes, and then when you factor in travel time to the clinic, although it's just a short walk, we could end up missing the patients that way as well. So if we aren't able to see them in person, then we would resort to phone outreach. And we would try and call, I think, three times to reach the patient if we were unable to. We were unable to if there's not updated contact information for them. But assuming we're able to get in touch with the patient either in person or via phone, the outreach intervention is pretty basic. It's determining, does the patient still want to receive their care at Core Center? And if they do, scheduling them a new appointment and conveying that information to them. And that was it. A lot of outreach interventions, especially patient navigation-based ones, include follow-up or reminder calls or assistance with transportation, but we were specifically interested in testing the effectiveness of a pretty minimal intervention, just scheduling patients a new appointment and letting them know when it is. Okay. So this flowchart sort of goes through the outcomes for the different alerts that we received. Over the 6 month pilot study we did, we received 398 alerts. And 198, so half of them, were repeats for the same patient. So we had 198 unique patients who were generating alerts, and 83 of them were excluded from analysis. And that was because primarily they were getting their care somewhere else. Sometimes we can tell that from their medical record number. Sometimes we didn't find that out until we went to go speak to them, and they said, oh, I'm receiving my care at an outside clinic. So that was the main reason that they were excluded. Other reasons could be that they were actually HIV negative and their appointment at the Core Center had been a follow-up for a preliminary positive test, or patients who were incarcerated or who were lost to care for less than 7 months, which was a little bit of a technological glitch on the interface between the medical record and the alert system. So out of the 115 who were included in our analysis, 60 had an appointment already in the system, so no outreach was attempted. And for those who did not have an appointment in the system, 22 of them we were able to successfully outreach to in person. And for the phone outreach, you see there were 33 attempts, 13 we were able to contact. So the boxes in green down there, oh, I can do this. So the in-person outreach and contacted, we identified those as successful outreach interventions. The folks we were unable to contact via phone were unsuccessful outreach interventions, and no outreach attempted. And those were our three groups that we sort of looked at differences between in the next slides. Okay, so our first table here is describing demographic and clinical characteristics and rate of return to care for these patients. As you see, there's not any significant correlations between demographic factors and which of the categories patients fell into, those three categories I just mentioned. But as a quick demographic overview, the average age of our patients was 45, 72% of them were male, 78% were Black or African American, 12% Hispanic Latino, and 36% of patients self-reported that their HIV risk factor was MSM. 67% were lost to care for less than a year, but overall mean time was just lost, was 366 days being lost to care. Their median CD4 was 331, and important to note about the CD4 value is that it was the most recent CD4 taken before they generated the alert. So it's prior to generating the alert. The percentage of patients with an undetectable viral load did differ significantly among the three groups. We also ran, in addition to this analysis, a chi-squared analysis between the groups who had successful and unsuccessful outreach, and it demonstrated that patients that we were successfully able to outreach were more likely to have an undetectable viral load than those who we couldn't successfully contact. But primarily, I want to draw your attention to the bottom row right here, which demonstrates the correlation between contact success and whether patients attended the appointments. So this univariate analysis that we ran demonstrated that patients with appointments in the system and those successfully contacted were significantly more likely to attend a follow-up appointment within 3 months than those that we identified as needing outreach but weren't able to successfully contact. And 3 months is important for us because that's the time frame used for linkage to care, as we saw in Pooja's report on the CDC statistics. So we kind of view this as a relinkage to care, in a sense. And so that's why we use 3 months as our identifier. So we also ran a logistic regression to identify associations with not following up for care. And once again, these demographic factors, age, gender, race, ethnicity, HIV risk factor, and time lost to care, weren't associated with differing follow-up rates. One thing that was associated was the CD4 count closest to the index visit. We did see that lower CD4 rates were correlated with lower follow-up rates for the alerts triggering patients. And the bottom row of this table again indicates that patients who were contacted by the alert system were more likely to follow up than patients we were unable to contact. There's not really any distinction between patients who already had an appointment in the system and ones who had successful contact. The follow-up rates are pretty comparable for that. But the ones we weren't able to contact were only about a seventh as likely to follow up as patients that we could contact. Another thing I want to mention is the method of contact. So this isn't reflected in the table really, but we ran some additional analysis, and for those patients that we contacted in person, 86% had a follow-up within 3 months. And those that we attempted to contact via phone, only 58% followed up. It's important to note that for the patients we contacted in person, all of those contacts were successful. And for the patients we contacted over the phone, not all of those contacts were successful. But regardless, it does demonstrate that in person, it seems to be a much more effective way of getting patients to re-engage in care. Okay. So just to kind of overview, as I've mentioned a couple times now, scheduling an appointment with patients that we determined needed outreach results in them being more likely to return to care, and in person is the most effective way to do that. So I guess the big takeaway that I want to present is that this is one example of a successful intervention. It requires relatively few resources because once you get in contact with the patient, there's no further follow-up. You just schedule an appointment, and the outcomes are pretty good for patients that you can contact in person. A couple of the limitations that I want to go over. We did not have a randomized control group, so everybody that we identified as possibly benefiting from this outreach intervention, we tried to contact them. Not always successfully, but everybody received the intervention as to the extent of our abilities. We also only had a moderate number of patients, which limits the statistical power of our analysis. We didn't see any correlations between different demographic factors and how those might affect follow-up, and that could be in part due to the limited number of patients that we had in our sample. And finally, this intervention was applied only within a single health system, so it's only within the Cook County Health and Hospital systems. So patients who don't follow up at the core center and aren't following up anywhere else within Cook County Health and Hospital systems, we're not going to see them if they're going somewhere else for their care. As far as ways that this can be used in the future, as I mentioned, I think it could be a very useful way to implement a less intensive intervention. For patients who are still somewhat engaged with the health system, they're attending other appointments, they have updated contact information in their medical record. This is a pretty low resource way to schedule them new appointments and get better follow-up rates. But at the same time, it's important, I think, to explore more intensive targeted interventions for patients who are harder to engage. So if you had noticed in some of the previous tables, this subset of patients is identified by poor clinical markers. So we saw that unsuccessful outreach was correlated with higher rates of detectable viral loads, and that lower CD4 counts were correlated with lower follow-up rates. So as I said, these measurements, the CD4 and viral load, are prior to the registration event that generated the alert. So it's not related at all to any sort of causative effect with our intervention, but it does really demonstrate the need for coming up with creative methods for engaging these patients who are hard to reach, especially because they're the ones who have more precarious health situations based on their clinical markers. And finally, a big reach area that we think could be useful for expansion is a regional health information exchange with other health systems. We would run into patients all the time who said, oh, I'm already getting my care at Howard Brown Health Center, or they've transferred to a different clinic. And it would be useful, A, to know that before we do outreach to patients so that we can focus our resources more effectively. And also, if with a regional health information exchange, it would be better to identify those patients in the first place. So I do want to acknowledge the HIV Treatment Cascade Administrative Supplemental Funding from the Chicago Developmental Center for AIDS Research. I want to thank Anna Houghton, who had a lot of great input on our analysis, and Alex Patino, George Markovsky, and Francisco Angulo for building the text messaging and secure website alert system. And thank you all for coming. No, we didn't do any sort of fact checking in that area. We relied on patients reporting. Yeah, so I think current guidelines are that, you know, HIV positive patients should see a healthcare provider, you know, once every 6 months. And we chose 7 to kind of give a little leeway because we know patients aren't always going to hit it right on the 6 month mark. So patients who might otherwise be very adherent and very regular with their healthcare appointments, we didn't want to catch them just because they were like a day or two over. So we kind of gave them a month of leeway. So those were the folks who, oh, I see, like what's the total right. Number of people on that lost to care for over 7 months list? Honestly, I do not know that statistic off the top of my head. I don't know what the total list of all lost to care patients is.
And then I have one other question. I was expecting there to be a text message to the people, as opposed, I like this idea of the infrastructure of the clinic, I think it's really great.
I see.
That I'm talking a little bit about.
Right.
I'm wondering what you think of the sustainability of a program like that in a different setting that maybe isn't so close to
Right. I mean, one of the big reasons that this worked is that everything's kind of located on the same campus, at least for the Cook County Stroger Hospital system and clinics. So, yeah, as far as I think some of the challenges would be having folks on site at different, like, health hubs, clinic hubs. That's one of the things we've thought about as well, because folks would generate alerts who were checking into maybe Provident Hospital, which is down south, and we wouldn't be able to outreach to them because we don't have anyone on site. So the expansion of this model would be difficult in terms of it would require somebody to be physically in the area of wherever folks are generating alerts. That's definitely a big challenge. Yeah.
And then I think the point about sharing the information across hospitals is really important.
Right, I think that would be a big step to expand, yeah.
How does that fit in from Cook County to all these other organizations, plus going into cell phone disclosure?
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
So the way that we protected patients' confidentiality in this system is that, so Cook County Health and Hospital Systems, it's all shared, all the patient information is shared via the same electronic medical record. And when we received the alert, saying, oh, a patient has checked in that you should do a chart review on, all it sent was a very generic alert. And then it's only when you log into this password-protected website that's part of the Cook County Health and Hospital System's intranet that you can actually see the patient information. So it's not being sent over public communication channels or anything like that.
Any other questions?
Okay, thank you, guys.